Like we said, Dave's going to be speaking on step two, which is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So, Dave.
Thank you, Greg. Thank
you. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Hey, thanks a lot. So, great to see you now.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
And thank you and hi there. Thank you for being here this evening. I'll say again, it's an honor and privilege to speak at an AA meeting. I'm always grateful to be able to be here. I'm thankful that you're here to encourage me and support me through this whole process. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. So here we go. The prayer is always the same. You know, Creator of the universe, please help me not to make a fool of myself this evening. And to say something of some value to somebody at some time. Never works. But I am grateful to be here. I'm not kidding you. So, listen, I'm not going to be outdone by anybody else who's been a speaker here by not carrying books around with me. I want you to know that I actually looked at them this week. I left here last week, and you may recall that I said that I didn't really know. I mean, this is kind of nerve-wracking because they don't speak for that long on one step, and I know that's no different than anybody else who's done this. It's no big deal, except that I did not do the kind of study that I should have to be able to talk about. Now, I've been around long enough that I could talk about the first and second step for long enough, I think, but I wanted it to also to make some sort of sense. So I thought when I left here last week, I said, I'm not going to get caught with my pants down again. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do my study. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to go out with an outline. I'm going to be ready. And then I listened to Leslie, which, by the way, wow, forget that. I'm not doing that. That was like an enormous amount of work. She's good. And so I wasn't going to let that happen to me. So I was going to get right at it. And so this morning when I got out of the dentist office, I started my work. So when I said that procrastination is what it says in the book, which is a five-syllable word for sloth, and that would be true. But I am grateful to be here and to be able to talk on the second step tonight. We all know what it is. Take out your binders. I have learned some things from Kevin Clark. If you've ever hung around with Kevin Clark, he has a lot of binders. So I bought myself a whole bunch of them just so I could be just like my hero, Kevin Clark. So we know the step, right? And what it says is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, which is a great big step. You know, I used to go to a meeting years ago in Hydetown, which is right next to Titusville, if you're not familiar. And there was the Jones brothers that were there, and they had been sober a long time. And they were older gentlemen at that time. And the one, I don't even know what his real first name is. They called him Brud, which is short for brother. And so Brud was probably close to 80 at that point, and this has been a number of years ago. And every week, it was this 12 and 12 meeting, and every week we would go through the next step, of course. And he'd say, now this second step, this is a necessary step. But he also said that about every step, every week. It was, this is a necessary step. So step two is a necessary step. I took that away from Brett. So what I didn't mention last week, and I found that through my notes when I actually did look at some, is that when we talk about step one, it's honesty, and step two is hope, which is great because I want to talk about hope for just a minute. It's about the one thing that we can't live without, right? I went to enough therapy for psychologists to actually say to me, you know, you can live with almost anything else, but you can't live without hope. And that struck me at the time as being profound, although it wasn't anything necessarily all that profound, I guess, but it struck me that way because I was hopeless at the time, and I was in despair. I wasn't so much after I got to this program, but you heard me last week, if you did, that I didn't spend a lot of time working the steps in the early part of my sobriety. As a matter of fact, not at all. Well, the limited amounts. Every meeting I went to, and I went to a lot of them, we read them. But we didn't really, and then I tried to do them myself. Did you ever try that? It's not a good idea. It's kind of like sponsoring yourself. which usually doesn't turn out too good, and it didn't for me. And so when I finally got a sponsor that said, listen, we're gonna do this the way it's supposed to be done, through the big book, and you're going to learn something about what Alcoholics Anonymous really is, and I did. So it really was some years down the road, even though I would tell you that I read and tried to practice the second step, I can tell you almost with a certainty that I wasn't doing it very well. And what I was doing was not growing with that step, I was just repeating the same thing over and over again, which of course is the, you know, a definition for insanity, expecting the same result. So here's what I discovered about the second step. It was going to provide me with hope if I did it right. But there's two pretty significant premises about the second step. And one of them is that there was going to be a power greater than myself that was going to restore me to sanity. And two, obviously, is I was insane. And I didn't like that much. I didn't like the idea of being insane, because it just made me crazy to think about it. I just made that up on the spot. Anyway, so insanity is a tough thing. I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you're just kind of, going along in your life and somebody says, listen, unless you get a power greater than yourself, you're going to remain insane. When, of course, I was insane, it was a hard sell, is what I'm trying to tell you. So I was fortunate to have a attentive sponsor who tried to drive me through this carefully and elementary. I needed small words, and I needed a long time to accept the concepts of them. Now, you know, the second step awards me with this higher power, but what it doesn't say is what the higher power is. It's the power of our, you know, it's the God of our own conception, our own, it's our God. It's not Kevin Clark's God, because he's got a sharp tongue, and I don't like that. And that's it. I'm done with that. I won't do anymore. It wasn't dressed up like me, is what I'm trying to say. And it took me the longest time to figure that out. And I know that that's not unique. There's a whole book that is called Not God. And if you ever had an opportunity to read it and let me know what it says. Because, man, it's a hard read. It's kind of a tome. It is a fairly well-written book, and I have read it. But I didn't retain much of it, I will be honest with about you. But the premise, of course, is I'm not God. I am not God. Left to my own devices, I show up here in despair. I show up here hurting and bleeding from a lot of different places and not knowing how to stop it. That's the God of my understanding when I got here. So I'm listening to some of the tapes this morning. Really remarkable bunch of people that you have speak here. And I'm glad to be part of this. But I just learned a lot of different things. And several of the people talked about their second step story about where they were when the God of their understanding first appeared, whether it was a dramatic appearance like it was for Bill Wilson, or whether it was the learned variety, the slower learned variety of spiritual experience. And some of them, they varied, you know, and I didn't listen to everybody. Of course, I don't have enough time. I just started this morning. and there's no sense rushing into things. So I thought, well, listen, I have a second step story. And I didn't remember that I had a second step story. But I've told this story lots of times when we were talking about the second step. So I'm going to tell the story again, just so that you know that I understand it for my position. Of course, this is all my opinion, for whatever it's worth. Is that this is where I knew for a fact I'd broken through into, you know, the spirit, the sunlight of the spirit. I didn't know what that meant before. I read it lots of times, but I really didn't get the idea. So anyway, I'm 2 years sober, and I go to a meeting virtually every day. First of all, I had no friends. The only friends that I had by that time were people in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they were barely tolerating me, I think. But I don't know that for a fact. Nobody actually said so, but they also didn't invite me out much. So I'm sitting in a meeting, but I'm going to these meetings every single day because I thought this is the only way I'm going to stay sober, because I figured out after the first year that I spent the whole year saying I wasn't going to be an alcoholic if I didn't drink for a year, because alcoholics drink. And then something happened and I showed up and I kept going to meetings, because I knew then that if I don't show up at a meeting, I'm getting drunk. That's how close it was for me. It wasn't like, oh, I'm a long ways away from a drink. I was 700 and some meetings away from it, and I'm still thinking, I don't know if this is working for me or not. So I'm sitting in this meeting, and listen, I'm not somebody who normally sits quietly. And so I'm sitting quietly. And I'm sitting next to a guy that maybe one or two of you would remember. It was Neil from down in Edinburgh. He was probably in his 70s at that point, and he had 30 plus years of sobriety. And I'm sitting beside Neil. Now, I don't know Neil. Well, I do, because I go to meetings with him all the time. But Neil doesn't remember me, because I'm nobody of any note. I'm just another newcomer, and he's watched him come and go for 35 years. So I'm sitting there, really, with no conscious thought that I can remember. And I am then overwhelmed. And I mean that in the most strictest sense. I felt absolutely overwhelmed with this feeling of connectedness, of love, of gratitude, all these things, peace. And it just fell over me. It was like a curtain that come down and said, here, have this. And I was speechless, which I'm usually not, honestly. But I didn't know how to, I didn't know where this was from. Now, I generally knew that, you know, I had a faith, but it wasn't a strong faith. It wasn't something anchored in anything. But this come over me with such completeness, enveloped me in this feeling. I could feel it. I mean, I could feel the warmth of this. And I could feel in my fingertips and this energy. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but that's what it was. And I was stupefied. I thought, oh my God, this is what they're talking about. This is serenity. I had never experienced anything like that. I understand why people go to meetings. That's there. That's here. I've never experienced it any place but as a direct result of recovery. It was overwhelming. This whole connectedness, this whole higher power took me up into a place that I had never experienced before. And 2 days later, it was gone. And by the way, I was grateful it was there for 2 days. But here's the deal. I wasn't expecting that, and that's why I got it. I was actually probably living a little more humility than I'd ever lived, and that's why I got it. And then when I decided 2 days later that I was personally responsible for it, it promptly left. And so there I was thinking, boy, I this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to pursue. So that's my second step story. So was it the kind of story that comes across automatically and quickly, and it's a mountaintop kind of thing? I don't know. It felt like it then. But here's the thing. I didn't grow up in a religious family. So I didn't really have an anchor to religion. And mostly what I went to a Methodist church as a child to Sunday school, and trust me, it was only because my parents wanted to be alone. So they sent me and my two stupid brothers up the street to the church. They were pretty stupid. well, I'm sorry, they are. And so they could see us from their bedroom window going into the church. We're just three little kids. And then they had the morning to themselves. They didn't make any more kids, but I mean, that was the purpose, I think. Only I knew that later on. But that's my introduction and final church stories. I never went to church. And it wasn't because I didn't believe in churches. I'm jealous of people who have a faith like that. But it's not something that's part of who I am. So that when I had to find a faith, not just in this program, but outside of here, when I needed to feel connected to something, the remnants of what I had was what the stories were that I had heard as in the MYF program when I was 13 years old. And that was what I based this all on. So this is a whole new concept, by the way. This is not, rote prayers. This isn't playing Red Rover, Red Rover with the kids at the MYF thing. It wasn't that. This is God of my understanding. I didn't know what else to call him. I couldn't call him Dave because as soon as I did, bad things happened. That was the end of that. Not bad so much as nothing happened. And so, now I know what it is. I can't walk away from this saying I never experienced it and I don't know what it is. And I had an experiential experience. And then what did I do after that? Well, not much. I kept saying, wow, this is a great idea. I wish I had that again. I couldn't figure out, I couldn't draw the line. Like before, I've said this, from A to B, I didn't understand well enough. I had to be here longer. I had to talk to more people. I had to ask for help. I had to trust. I had to have a faith. Now, since that time, I have a faith because that's never going away. The feeling I got from that is never going to turn me into an agnostic. I will guarantee you. That was connected to something much larger than myself. You're never going to convince me that some chemical reaction in my head gave that to me. I don't have a big enough brain for that crap. I mean, you really have to be kind of smart to have that kind of stuff, and I don't exist. It doesn't exist in me. So I am certain of this. I am certain that that's what it said. So now what do I do? Do I work towards giving myself over, as we have frequently been told to? Everybody in this room knows that. Just turn it over. God, I heard that a gajillion times. I mean, it was bad as hearing time takes time, I really didn't know if I wanted to hear that. So just turning it over. So, I don't know about you, but I've listened to a lot of leads on and other things on CDs. And one of them is Sandy Beach. And Sandy Beach is probably a lot of you know. Sandy Beach is kind of an icon. And he is now passed. But he said, when he was talking about the second step and finding the God of your understanding, he said, listen, be careful. He said, because when you ask for this in earnest and in prayer and you believe that it's going to happen, guess what, guys? It's going to happen. Now, I've been told lots of times that God has more than one answer to prayers. And one of them's no. And one of them's yes. And the other one's not yet. And that not yet category gathers up a lot of prayers, I think. Because I don't think that the God of our understanding, if you're asking in earnestness and you mean your prayer and it's supposed to be for the benefit of others and not necessarily ourselves, it might end up in the not yet pile, but probably not the no pile. But I'm guessing at that. I don't really know. But he said, be careful what you pray for. Now, I have experience with this. Probably everybody in this room has experience with this. Because I prayed for patience. I prayed for tolerance. And worst of all, I prayed for humility. And we all know what happens there. The moment you do that in earnest, as though with your faith you're going to say, well, this is going to happen now. It does. But it doesn't. I'm not granted humility. I'm granted a test of my humility. Failed that one down the line, regularly. Tolerance, I'm a lot better at. I can put up with things that. But honestly, I'm retired and I'm getting older and whatever. So he also said this, and this is a tongue-in-cheek thing. He said, be careful about lust too. He said, really, I wanted to give about 60% of it back. He said, I had to hold some of that back for myself, he said. And I thought, well, that's a wise thing, so I've taken him at his word. But I'm, obviously that's a transactional thing. If I can have this, I want that kind of stuff. And, God's not transactional. I mean, the love of God is not transactional. But, in the midst of not really knowing, okay, I think that I don't know. You hear guys talk about foxhole prayers, and, and get it. Those are transactional prayers, you know, like, well, if you get me out of this, God, then you know, I'll go to church every day for, or every Sunday for a year. And then when you're out of it, you go like, well, maybe. Did I say a month? I don't remember. I want to instill in my program and to make you understand that where I'm at with this is that step two was a lot bigger to me than I thought it was. I didn't think much of it. I wanted to get to three for some reason, because there's where the decisions are starting to be made, you know. And I already read through 44 pages of the big book and the doctor's opinion and everything else, and I was getting a little tired of steps one and two. And so I wanted to get on to three, and I didn't want to hear that the power can only be granted through the love of God, and or words to that extent. And I really, really, really wanted to move on to three, because I wanted to get on with this program. And it looked like two was going to, you know, just be another one of those. Come on, come on. Truth of the matter is, as I look back on it now, it is outside of that first step. And the fact that I needed to recognize the powerlessness of that and the unmanageability. The idea is that I had to have a higher power. I wasn't going anywhere. This is a spiritual program. If you don't have a God of whatever your understanding is, and I hesitate calling anything God, but that can be a big G or a small G. You know, whatever it is that you believe that will bring you the peace and give you that is power, more powerful than yourself, that's where I figured I had to be. Now, I've been around the program for quite a while. Not as long as some, longer than others, but here's the deal. The doorknob is never your higher power. And when I have a old timer say, well, it can be anything you want it to be, it can be a door handle or doorknob. No, it can't. A doorknob is not more powerful than you. You grab it and turn it, it lets you in. That's not the idea of it. And when I sponsor guys and we get to this, and one of the very first questions is, do you have a faith? Do you have something that you believe in? Do you have some place to hang these things up at? And if they say no, man, we are back to one, and let's go again. And we get through two again, and you still don't have something, let's go again. And it's, you know, pretty soon they're lying to me. Yeah, let's go. Because that's how important it is. It's so important to have that the concept of your God. If it's not there in this program, it doesn't work. I'll go back to Sandy Beach, and what he said was to his doctor, to somebody, you know, he was either going to have a program of spiritual program of recovery, or he's going to die an alcoholic death. And he was still in the nut house when they told him that, and he said, well, how bad's the alcoholic death? You know, his first response, which is, that's our response, right? That's our response. Like, well, what? How bad is it? It's pretty bad. So that's, you know, if I make no impression whatsoever, the impression is that I want to leave here, and I want to leave with the guys that I sponsor and others in discussion meetings, is if you can't find a power greater than yourself, keep trying. Our buddy Buzz would say you can use Charlie's God. You know, he used Charlie's God, and I don't care. You know, it's impossible to get past two, and you clearly can't go to three if you don't have a concept, if you don't have somebody that you can hang this with, and that you don't have a personal relationship at some point or another. What do you do when you get to 11? You want to maintain a conscious contact. Well, I don't know, with a doorknob. Well, he doesn't say much, but he hangs around. I wrote a couple of things down. And I thought I made this up, but I'm sure I didn't. And it's about grace. And grace comes from having this feeling, this overwhelming feeling of connected to the universe, connected to God, connected to love, connected to human beings and all other means, all other sentient beings, I guess. But here it is. Grace is the road to humility, runs through honesty, and only then arrives at grace. And I thought, that's pretty profound. I'm sure that I didn't write it. I'm sure somebody else said it to me. But it meant so much to me after I read it. I thought, well, yeah, I can't get to where I really want to get to. I can't get to grace until I do the work. And part of the work is humbling myself before a God of my understanding. You know, I was listening today, and one of the tapes talking about, one of the speakers was talking about praying and doing it from their knees, which I didn't know if that was important or not. Again, that's probably, if I'd gone to church, I'd figured that out, but I didn't. But the way it was explained on this, in this recording, was, you know, you're a supplicant at that point. You are asking. You are asking in a humble fashion before a power greater than yourself. Okay, I get it. So in the end, what I want to be, and I think that all of us should strive for, just my opinion again, is to be a servant of God. That's where we should be. And how we do that is, you know, through this program, is through that first two steps. And then we can do it. I think I've watched it happen. I've experienced it. I can be something that I was not before by accepting something greater than myself. It's a fascinating concept. It's so old. I mean, church people have been talking about this forever. You know, in our program they said, pay attention to what the church people have been talking about. They've been doing it a long time. Don't dismiss them. I don't. I'm jealous of them sometimes because they have a greater sense of their being because they have spent their lives in prayer and supplication to a power greater than themselves. It's only when they start taking on social issues that it creates problems for me. But religion, for religion's sake, is a wonderful thing. The same way that this program, for this program's sake, has saved my life and many, many others. And will continue to do so. Why should it go away? We're doing the right thing. We're supplicating ourselves to a God of our understanding who freely gives himself to us. How the heck could that be a bad thing? If I get there through humility and honesty and I reach grace, then I have done more than I could possibly expect to do in my lifetime. I would have never expected to do that. I'm serious. I wasn't geared that way. I was geared to drink too much and to die from it. It's one of the quotes out of the, I think the 12 and 12. It says, its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And the problem is you have no power. And you know, the problem is that you're not going to have any power unless you ask for the power. And it's not granted to you specifically. It's granted to that which is not you. That makes us what we are today. So it's a continuous journey for me. There's a story that I tell every once in a while. I heard this story from a guy that I work with who was not in the program. Wasn't a terribly religious guy either. But it's a small story that teaches about humility. I don't know why he told me, but he was a dear friend of mine, and he's now gone. But he said to me one time, he said, "Listen, if there's no God," he said, "or if you don't believe in God or Jesus, whatever he said, then go grow a blade of grass." I said, "Well, I've grown a lot of things. I grow all kinds of vegetable gardens, and I can grow you a whole field of grass." He said, "Yeah, but you don't get the seed. You don't get the seed. I can't plant something I can't create. Something was created beyond me. So I can't grow a blade of grass. But with God's help, I can do a whole field." Thanks. Hey, man, I did good.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah. So now we have time for questions and answers. So if you're on Zoom, go ahead and just speak up whenever you get the opportunity. And if you're here in the room, raise your hand and I'll bring you the microphone. So who wants to get us started?
What do you think, Bill? Do you have a question, buddy?
I don't remember what you said.
There you go.
I love your honesty.
What step was that?
He told me to skip two and go to three.
Hey, Dave. I'm Pat, alcoholic. Great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
So here's what I wanted to ask you. I've heard a few different talks on step two. The interesting thing is the wording says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Mm-hmm.
Not deliver us from alcohol, but restore us to sanity. And almost like what you were saying earlier about alcoholism being sort of the opposite of sanity. I just wondered about your thoughts on that.
Well, my thought is exactly what you're saying. It doesn't tell us it's going to deliver us from alcoholism. The program itself is a spiritual program that is going to deliver us up to a point where alcohol becomes a non-entity. It's a thinking problem, not a drinking problem. And that second step is the salvation step. It says here, this is how you can, this is your road to redemption. So I've never thought about it in terms of it's going to cure me of alcoholism. It just was going to give me something that I could hold on to when there's nothing else to hold on to. That's what I got, Pat. Yeah. I'm not going to call anybody.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, John.
A few of us here tonight remember Neil Halk, and my question for you is,
yeah,
your first spiritual experience, did it really happen, or was it just you sitting next to Neil Halk and having him rub off on you?
That was the, listen, that has long time been, and I didn't finish the story really. Neil didn't play much of a role in that story, but he played a huge role in the story, and that's why I brought up Neil. I thought that if there is a thunder, a lightning bolt of serenity headed towards Neil and missed him and hit me. I thought, and that's why Neil is important in that story. He was a guy of, you know, no kidding. He was serene. So, yeah, he was a good man, and I appreciated him. But thank you, John, for your question or your comment.
Well, it says a question.
Hi, Carolyn, alcoholic. Thanks, Dave, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And I'm just kind of piecing together your personal timeline that you shared with us last week, and
yes,
and the fact that you had had started the steps at 11 years. But my understanding of your experience that you just shared was when you were 2 years sober.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Well. So what I'm going to ask is, what do you think kept you sober until you took the opportunity to work the steps in earnest at 11 years?
Grace of God.
Okay.
That's it. I yeah. There's no other answer to that. I got no answer. I wasn't working in the steps. I wasn't. I was going to meetings, and then I wasn't going to meetings. I mean, first of all, my entire life is the grace of God. The fact that I got here, the fact that I'm alive, the fact that I live a blessed life.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, not my fault. I tell people my recovery is not my fault. I played very little role in that, but so many other people did. I don't know how many. You know, there's not supposed to have heroes in here. I've got a bunch of them. I don't sit around and talk about like that. I don't put people on pedestals, but man, I have heroes. I have people in this program and outside this program who love me long enough for me to survive. So yeah, 2 years. 2 years. I was going to meetings every day for a long time, up to 5 years, and then that's when it fell off precipitously.
So would you? So grace is a gift.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Thank you.
I made an alcoholic. I guess I was thinking about, you talked about the experience you had and how it had left you in a couple days. So is that something you had chased, or you figured out how or where it came from?
It took me a while. I have thanked you for the question. It took me a while to figure out how it got it there to begin with. When it occurred to me that the only way that it got there was by something I had nothing to do with, except that I kept showing up at meetings. I was humble enough to at that particular moment, and God was going to gift Neil and got me. That I finally pieced together as to why. I don't think that I'm going to, personally, I'm not going to get to that feeling without the lessons in humility that I need to learn, which are continuous, to be honest with you. And when it left me, it took me a long time to figure it out, because, man, I wanted to chase it. I mean, I understood then why people talked about chasing the dragon. They're chasing that high. That's what it was. It felt like a high. And it's not as though I haven't experienced that again. I have. But not frequently, and not near as much as I want to. But when I figured out that I was the reason, I wasn't the reason I got it, but I was the reason it left, I try to be mindful of that. So, thank you for the question.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone on Zoom have a question?
Ellen does.
I think you're on mute, Helen.
No, she's not.
No?
Hold on, Helen, we can't hear you.
There we go.
Okay, now we can hear you, Helen.
Now you can hear me.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks so much for your speaking on these steps. And I do admire your sobriety very much. But you mentioned that when you're working with someone, if they don't have, I think they just froze up on us. Did you just freeze up on us? Okay.
No, I'm just staring off stupidly into space.
You mentioned that when you're working with someone at the end of the work on the second step, if they still don't have a power greater than themselves that they can trust, you go back to the first step.
Yeah.
How many times would you repeat that before you'd say,
it doesn't happen. First of all, it doesn't happen very often. People, and I will tell you that that's been infrequent, but it's the only way. Twice is generally what happens, because the third time they figured it out. Say, oh no, I got one, so we're going to get to the third step. But that's generally the case. But you know that's not the case, because they come back after they haven't been there for a while. So, but thank you for the question, Helen.
Thanks.
Listen, Jane, is this the first time you've never said anything? Come on, give me a question.
Question. No, I appreciate, I'm Jane Alcoholic, and I'm glad I was able to come. I wanted to be here last week, but I don't know, God made me stay away for some reason. But I want to thank you. These meetings are awful early for me. I'm either ending my nap or getting dinner ready, one or the other. I do. It's interesting to learn how different people find their God.
Yes.
Of their understanding. And because, you know, everybody has a different idea of who God is. And like I've said before, God can be used as a general term, because everybody has a different following, a different religion, so to speak, a different, whether it's our God that we've learned through Christianity or Buddha or whatever other gods that are out there. And they're not doorknobs. We're not talking about this. You know, when they said you can even have a doorknob, I thought, well, what's that going to do for me except help me get in the next room?
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate what you have to share, and I hope I'm going to continue to hear you out. I know they've had some good speakers in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're one of them, and I can. I just thought I'd come and listen to you for a change.
Well, thank you.
Trying to beat you and talk.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jane, you're welcome, and thank you for the question. Oh, there was no question in there. Thank you, Jane. It's always good to see you. I like your frog, too. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Freddie Bone, Jordan Alcoholic.
Hey, Freddie.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I love the simplicity of the way you explained it. I wish I would have heard this 21 years ago or more. I would have saved myself. You would have saved me some pain. You know, when I first read that step years ago, it was would restore me to sanity. So I was waiting.
Yeah.
And doing nothing else other than showing up in meetings. I went to all kinds of meetings and whatnot and smiled at my sponsor a lot. And then all of a sudden people were getting well around me, like I said last night when we talked. And all of a sudden that would went to could. when I saw them getting well. And I said, you know, if it's going to work for them, it's going to work for me. Is that kind of what you, that's kind of what the way, because it went away, you said.
Oh, yeah.
It no, went away.
It went away because of my ego. That's why it went away. But the experience lasted, Freddie. I mean, the idea of finding the God of my understanding was from that point forward. I just didn't know how to chase it successfully. But I've been able to incorporate that into my recovery now. So I didn't really have one before that. So thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for sharing your experience on Second Step and the experience you had, which is really pretty remarkable. But here's my question. I'm Leslie Alcoholic. Sorry about that. How sometimes we come to meetings and we go to Second Step discussions and we hear a whole lot of discussion about who is my God and what is my God and, you know, what does he, she, it look like, and blah, blah, blah. And I was wondering, now, clearly my point of view is showing pretty clearly. To me, it's pretty unimportant. But how does that work? How did that work with you? And how does it work with the men you sponsor try to help as far as letting go of the need for a definition at all?
Well, as I approach it to my own recovery, Like I mentioned, I wasn't anchored to anything necessarily, except honestly this program. This is where I learned about grace. I didn't learn about it in church, but I didn't go. And I'm grateful that people do. Most of the guys that I've worked with over the years have had some kind of faith when they showed up. For those who didn't, we had to work hard at finding a way, because, you know, We Agnostics is a whole chapter in our book. And I'm mindful of that, but it also says in there, you know, find God. So, you know, for myself personally, you know, I was anchored then to that experience and to what I learned then subsequently when in this program, when I started in earnest to learn how to live this program through the steps. And the only thing I can do is pass that on to the guys. I don't look to identify it. I never say that you have to have a faith that's basically Judeo-Christian or Buddhist or Hindu or that. None of that means anything to me. I'm appreciative of people who do, and my understanding of God, of my understanding is a Judeo-Christian God. It's the limit of what I know, but that doesn't preclude somebody saying to me, well, I only believe in, you know, Air Krishna, you know. Okay, as long as it's a power greater than yourself, I don't care. It's got to be something like that. It can't be, you know, I know people use the group as a higher power. I know. And that's not a bad idea. I'm not against that. I just think that that's selling yourself short. There's so much more. The group's great, but we're also here for fellowship and strength. So
I have one more quick question.
Sure.
Well, it's really not a trick question at all. It is... As time has gone on, has your understanding or lack of understanding of what your higher power is, has it changed? Has it modified?
And significantly.
You know, for my own self, it's become less important to even put characteristics on higher power. It's too limiting.
In
my mind, and I was wondering how that works with you. Same, different, other.
No.
Thought process.
My understanding has grown significantly. So, I've never put characteristics on it. It never occurred to me to do that. So I don't think about the God of my understanding being anything but a presence in my life. I don't think about God in terms of how, you know, the simplistic way people want to look at God. I shouldn't say that. The way that people and have referred to it as somebody who, you know, sits in the clouds. I don't know how to describe it because I've never done that. I don't know. But that's just, again, it's because I don't have any anchor to religion. which is fine by me. I'm not complaining about it, nor do I think it's a bad idea. I want to have no characteristics attached to the God of my understanding. I want it to be a presence that I feel, that I believe is everywhere. It's not just for me, obviously. It's for all of us, even for people who don't get here, who are currently dying sitting on a bar stool someplace. It's for them, too. And you know how it is. Drunks and crazy men, that's who God takes care of. So.
Hi, Gretchen Alcoholic. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Gretchen.
I'm going to go kind of in a different shift off this higher power thing, because that's how I am. But, you know, what really I got hung up on was more so where it talks about believing and also about the sanity.
Yes.
Because I didn't believe it was going to work for me.
Right.
And as far as the sanity part, because of the way that I had lived my life for so many years, I didn't know any different. So to right. me, the way I was living was very sane.
Well, yeah, I agree.
How do you work with others with that?
Well, sometimes they make it blatantly obvious. You know, they might have a little thing on their wrist because they're in the detox. But, you know, that's a good question. And I don't know that I can give a good answer to it. I don't know. I mean, I work with guys with the idea that we're going to come to some understanding that they can't do this themselves. That, and I can't do it. I'm not there to do that for them. So I don't know that I can answer it adequately. Honestly, I don't. But thank you for the question anyway. So.
Any last questions?
Yeah, man, it's time to go, I think.
All right, Dave, I think that does it.
Hey, thank you very much.